Our focus scripture this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 4, and this is where Jesus speaks of dealing with sin. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." God's word for God's people.
It was toward the end of the church service. The minister asked the congregation, "How many of you have forgiven your enemies?" And he looked out at everybody's hand was up, except one little lady who was sitting near the back. And he pointed to her and said, "Mrs. Jones, are you not willing to forgive your enemies?" Mrs. Jones smiled at him and said, "Pastor, I do not have an enemy in the world." "You have no enemies?" the pastor asked. He says, "Nope, I do not have an enemy in the world." "Mrs. Jones," he said, "how old are you?" She goes, "I'm 98 years young." And he says, "That is amazing. After 98 years, Mrs. Jones, come on up. Come on up." So this sweetheart of a lady, she tottered down the aisle. She came up and stood next to the pastor, smiling all the way. And the pastor asked her, he said, "Mrs. Jones, tell us all here how a person can live 98 years and not have a single enemy." And she said, "I outlived them all." Have you forgiven your enemies? Or are you like Mrs. Jones? You've outlived them all. Who should we forgive? Should we forgive everyone? What does Jesus say in the midst of this? Because we talk about forgiveness as if, okay, yeah, I ask for forgiveness and just go on with life. Get that word, forgive. Well, I think we need to take a look at what Jesus says about forgiveness. And it takes us a little while to get where that really does apply to us every single day. But Jesus knows we're going to have to forgive. He knows that we will have sins done against us and that we will sin. So I invite you to open a Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. And Jesus shares in verse 1. He said to his disciples, we can also be saying to us, "Things that cause people to stumble," or "things that cause people to sin, are bound to come. But woe to anyone through whom they come." Sin is a part of the world, and it's bound to happen. But that does not excuse the person through whom the sin comes. Jesus is saying that it is impossible to construct a world with no temptations. And if there's temptations, we are going to fall into them. We're human. But to the person who causes another to sin, Jesus even says woe to that person. Now, another word for woe is misery. Misery will come to the person who leads someone, who leads you, who leads me, who leads anyone, to turn away from their allegiance to Jesus and his teachings. And Jesus hints in verse 2, the punishment that'll come to that person, their woe, the misery they will have. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Now, when he says with these little ones, he could be talking about children, but what the focus is on Christians, new Christians, people who are coming to the faith, people who are following Christ, and when people try to make them turn away from the faith, woe to them. So it could be any follower of Christ and those learning the ways of God. God will not hold guiltless anyone who sends someone, younger or weaker person, on the wrong road of life. When have you been led down the wrong road of life? Who's someone you followed that when you found out it was, no, this isn't a good thing? Did you stick with them? Or did you realize, no, this isn't right? You know, when I go back over the years, there have been times with me it's happened. I know there's been times with each and every one of us. Jesus says we are going to have temptations that will lead us to sin. There will be others who will bring it in, and sometimes we do a fine enough job on our own. But when someone leads us to sin, what are we to do? What do we do when someone leads us into temptation? Or someone sins against us? He says to start out in what we do here in verse 3. He says, so watch yourselves. In other words, we have some responsibility in this. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. Now, that word may go, wait a minute, we've heard that word recently. I talked about rebuke a few weeks ago in a sermon. Where rebuke isn't just bringing up the person's wrong, it's also helping them understand why it's wrong. It means to bring us the sin to the person's attention in this situation. With the purpose, not just of making you right, no. The purpose is restoring them to the person God wants them to be. And while we need to be on guard against being led to sin, when it does happen, as Jesus says, it'll come. We are to rebuke those who are leading us towards sin. But it's not only pointing out the sin, as I said. It's also to help them overcome the sin. So unless rebuke is tied to forgiveness, toward you helping them, toward you helping to forgive them, then it will not help the sinning person. So it's not only to point out what was done wrong, it's also to help them realize what to do that is right. So the first thing we're to do is to rebuke when someone has led you to sin. But then Jesus brings up at the end of verse 3, and if they repent, forgive them. Repent. Repent is defined as expressing regret or remorse. So if they repent, if they've sinned against you, you rebuked them, they go, you know, you're right. That was wrong. I'm sorry. You are to forgive them. Jesus has commanded that. But what if they do not repent? What if they say, just go away. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm not going to listen to God. I'm just going to do my own thing. Is it up to you then to straighten them out? Jesus says, then if they repent, forgive them. If they don't repent, leave them to God. Because maybe you're not the person to help turn them around. Maybe it's someone else. And God is working through them. We have a hard time leaving things to God at times. We want to try and be the fixer. But if they do not repent, leave it to God. That's called having faith. So if they repent, whose responsibility is forgiveness? Yours. Ours. It's placed on you, not the sinner. For you are to be like Jesus and forgive them when they repent. And if they sin and repent again, guess what? Well, Jesus brings that up because he knows it's going to happen. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to say, I repent, you must forgive them. The point here is we are to forgive the sinner when they repent because Jesus has commanded us to. Yes, you are to forgive again and again and again when they have sincere regret, sincere remorse. That's repenting. And as Luke says 7 times, Matthew has the more familiar 70 times 7. But it just means however many times they repent, sincere remorse, sincere regret, you must forgive them. Why are we responsible to forgive them? What has all this led up to? I said at the very beginning of the service, cover some things. Now it leads up to why we are the ones to forgive. We are to forgive because this is how God treats each and every one of us. God does not withhold his forgiveness from you when you sin. And when you have been rebuked, either through the Spirit or through others, and you repent, in other words, when you express sincere regret and sincere remorse, how many times has God done that for you? And if God has done that for you, then we are to, as it says in the Lord's Prayer, do to others. We are to forgive them when they repent. That forgiveness is to be there for them, is to be available for them. And in doing so, well, oftentimes we are like the young child who, well, he was with his mom shopping. And the boy was acting badly, as young boys will sometimes do. I know, I was a young boy at times. And the boy wanted this and that, and the boy would be running off or grabbing something off the shelf. And mom's just saying, sit down, we're just about done. Mom was getting exasperated. So as they were driving home, he could sense mom's displeasure. And he said, Mom, when we ask God sincerely to forgive us when we are bad, he does that, doesn't he? And the mother replied, yes, he does. So the boy continued, and when God forgives us, he buries our sins in the deepest sea, doesn't he? The mom replied, well, yes, you could say that. The boy was silent for a while, and then he said, Mom, I've asked God to forgive me for what I did back there at the store. But I bet when we get home, you're going to go fishing for those sins, aren't you? Too often, we go fishing for other people's sins when God's already forgotten about it. God's already forgiven them. They've repented, but we tend to be stubborn at times. And we say, well, I don't know. We're given control. And what does Jesus say to do? Forgive them. How have you gone fishing for other people's sins? This week, you will have temptations. Sins will come your way. What do you say back in verse 1? Things that cause people to stumble, things that cause people to sin, are bound to come. So you'll get an opportunity to rebuke and repent, either personally or someone who sinned against you. But think of it this way. If God does not remember your sins and forgives you when you repent, then you need to be doing the same with others. Who's someone you need to leave at the bottom of the sea? Forget about the sin because they've repented. To forgive them so that while your life is going on, they see how God is active through you and you feel the glory of God's forgiveness for them. Let us bow our heads for a time of prayer. Forgiving God, you have assured us that when we sin and repent of our sin, when we express sincere regret and remorse, then you forgive us our sin. So I invite you to confess your sin or sins, and then through a silent prayer, ask God for forgiveness. Oftentimes we sin because we're trying to get out of a mess we found ourselves in, either by our own doing or someone else. We try to handle the mess ourselves instead of seeking God's guidance. So I invite you to pray for a mess you are in and pray for God to lead you in cleaning up the mess through God's guidance and patience. And just as each of us have stumbles in our lives, we know of others who are in a mess and have stumbled in their life in some way. We have tried to rebuke them, to make them aware of their wrongdoing, of their sin. Yet they are focused on what they want instead of what God wants. So I invite you to pray for them through a silent prayer. Yes, Lord, we understand if they do not repent, we are to leave it to you. But may our prayers still be there for them to realize where you are in their life. Because oftentimes when we have situations in our lives that hurt us, such as a death in the family, such as a recent diagnosis, such as struggling with our health, whether it be physical or mental, whether it be our emotional status, or even our spiritual life, you are there to help. And just like taking us to forgive others, we have to take action. We need to look at you and how you provide action for them and for us in our lives. That you are there for all who are facing trials and tribulations. You're there to help. And how long do we wait for a repent? Well, Jesus would say, just keep praying and waiting. For let's face it, God blesses us even when we do not deserve it. Yet we often chalk that up to being good fortune, when really it is God caring for you. So I invite you to pray a prayer of thanks. Thanks for one or two blessings you're especially conscious of this morning. Lord, in addition to these thanks, we thank you for the thanks of the teachings of Jesus, who show us what we should be doing. Yes, we know we are to forgive when they repent, but if they're refusing to repent, we leave it to God. You know, sometimes we need to take those teachings more to heart, or we need to learn them over and over and over again to be reminded. But thank you for being so patient with us and offering us forgiveness, the joy of that. Thank you for the teachings and how it offers us in living our lives. For each one of us sins, and we each one of us have needed to repent. And after repenting, we encounter that freedom and blessing of life that makes us realize by having Christ in our life, life is good. So I invite you to ask Christ into your life, either for the first time or once again, through a silent prayer. All these prayers we lift up in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.